Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. Final hour today. Good morning, Upstate. Mad Max Boulevard looks sort of quiet. We're still, you know, I'm still hearing about this stuff happening downtown or wherever it is at the QT.
Yeah, apparently, excuse me for interrupting, but just apparently there's been a chase. We're getting in touch with Greenville Police now. About that, but apparently there was a chase involving a lot of vehicles. Apparently a suspect possibly had fired at another vehicle, so that's what was going on.
And that'll roll.
Apparently that is over with, but we'll try to get details coming up for you in an upcoming newscast here as soon as possible.
Let me give out the phone number, El Presidente. Please stand by. Ingalls Advantage Talk Line is 800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307. El Presidente, now, in your government, if you had a legislative body out there that was fixated on simply the fact that it's your government, do you think that'd be a good record to run on?
No, it would not. Because you could very easily point out, look, here are the issues that this country needs to deal with. This is the things that the government needs to do. And they're not doing it because they are fixated on a personal vendetta against a person in the office. As I often like to say, I'm about the message, not the messenger.
Right.
I'm much more interested in the ideology, the accomplishments, the legislation, than I am in the personalities of the individuals involved.
Has this House of Representatives, have they actually passed anything that's made it to the president's desk?
I am not aware of anything of significance.
Besides the continued funding of the government and all the other usual.
Yeah, they sure took care of themselves there, didn't they?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and then that's another good point that I think that Trump can run on. Is that once Democrats have taken control of the House, they have nothing but this endless fixation on removing Donald Trump from office, and they still have no facts, no exact specified charges of any kind to nail him with.
Yeah, the thing though that is the Democrats for a long time, because Congress always seems to be in multiple hands. They decided to default to the judiciary. So they started stacking the judiciary. Yeah. Except Trump, when Trump gets reelected, because I sincerely believe he will, when he gets done, the court system will be completely redone. Mm-hmm. He's restocking the Ninth Circus. I mean, the Ninth Circuit in,
This is Oregon. Something that Bush should have done something about.
Yeah.
And I think that he, whether it was by design or just simply by failure, this is something that this country is still suffering from are the days of the Clinton appointees and now the Obama appointees.
Right.
And quite honestly, this is a large part of our problem because we have activist judges that are legislating from the bench. And that continues to be an issue for this country.
Well, they run the country. I mean, if Trump gets out there and says, I'm closing the border, some judge in Hawaii get out there and say, no, you're not.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you're not. No, you're not. So I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at their continued going after Kavanaugh. I'm surprised they don't go after Gorsuch, but I guess Kavanaugh's a little lower hanging fruit. They think.
Yeah.
Because they never proved anything about Kavanaugh, as far as I know.
Well, they didn't. And they proved that the accusations were false. I mean, that's what came out. Now, not in their minds. They're saying, well, we still have doubts. Well, fine. I got doubts about all kinds of folks in office.
Well, I wonder about Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff, because they're out there saying, well, we heard what Mueller said, but that's not what he meant. Yeah. Okay.
Then show us the
Hold
facts.
Hold up. I want to see your crystal ball.
Yeah. Well, I mean, quite honestly, there should be some charges against both of them for claiming that they had factual evidence to prove that Trump had committed a crime. I mean, obviously, because of our First Amendment and certain things about public figures, you can't be sued over something like that, but they should be.
Yeah. Well, could we charge him with breach of government? Of moving government? I mean, this is the thing. Now, I haven't talked to him, but when I used to talk to Trey Gowdy when he first got elected, he told me that he thought politics today, and this was in the Tea Party era, he told me that politics today was a performance-based profession.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of largely suspect that at one point he finally got out there after being the head of all these committees and realized, I've been in Congress now for 8 years and I haven't written one piece of legislation that ever got passed. I haven't written a piece of legislation.
Yeah.
And I think he probably, that was part of the reason. I don't know. I haven't talked to him, but I would suspect that. Now, some of these other guys where they got out there and they were expected to produce as well, I think they got out because they were expected to produce. But in the case of Trey, I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. These guys on the Democratic side, they don't even make a pretense as to trying to do something. They just want to be rid of Trump.
Well, I would agree with Mr. Gowdy's characterization as it being a performance-based profession.
Right.
But that performance is a different form of that word, as in acting.
Right.
Not actually accomplishing.
Well, I mean, anybody that goes to the House of Representatives and thinks they're going to change the world, they're one of 435 people.
Well, as Rush Limbaugh would say, you know, Washington, D.C. is Hollywood for the less attractive, shall we say.
But they look so good in their suits. All except for Lindsay. Lindsay can take a Hugo Boss suit and make it look like he bought it at Kmart. Good God. But looking at this House, I mean, nobody's really talking about it this much, but Pelosi's not in control of the House.
No.
I think there's a very good chance it swaps back.
It's possible that I'm a little concerned. Apparently, there's several Republicans that are talking about not running for re-election. The power of incumbency is very powerful. And as we found out in this past election, one of the reasons that Republicans lost control of the House is because so many were getting out.
Yeah.
You had so many that were rotating out of committee chairmanships, and they didn't want to go back to just being just another House member. And decided not to run. That's the theory that I've heard postulated.
But I mean, the midterms for the Democrats was not the usual big upheaval that normally happens when you have a Republican.
Sadly, it was big enough, but anyway.
It was big enough, but it wasn't huge. It wasn't that groundswell that we've come to expect. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that so many Republicans quit.
Yeah.
And didn't
exactly
run for re-election.
Right.
So
and we were seeing, I think they're up to like a dozen now, and so that right there means that those are up for grabs, and you know you're at the mercy of whoever the local Republican is that's nominated, and whoever the local Democrat is, or if there's any independents that get into the race.
Right.
So you know, those things are certainly not as heavily favored as it usually is toward the incumbent.
This idea that I saw an idea the other day. There's 19 senators that are susceptible to things. I don't think so. I think Mitch McConnell, even with his broke shoulder, has shown himself to be a sort of a steely, cagey operator finally.
Well,
and
my confidence is not that high.
What, in Mitch?
Yeah, I'm not.
I don't know. I sort of dig
him. Not to say that he would lose an election. I'm just not all that enamored with his performance on much of anything.
Oh, well, I mean, he's not going to be perfect.
Well,
he's not going to be perfect. He stands up in the moments when he needs to.
That bar
stand
for
up.
Me ain't nowhere near perfect.
El Presidente.
Well, I really am disappointed and have been for years, I should probably say decades, mm-hmm. in Republican leadership. The last really good, strong Republican leader that I saw as a leader in Congress was Newt Gingrich. And, of course, he had his faults and his foibles as well. But he was a leader. He got things done. He changed the moment.
He did.
He was the one that directed the narrative. And I have not seen that with a Republican speaker or Republican majority leader in the Senate in that time.
Newt was before his time.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if he were the Speaker of the House now?
Oh, yeah.
That would be an interesting dynamic to consider right about now.
Yes.
Because, you know, the Republicans, despite the fact the Republicans under Trump never voted to do the things like repeal Obamacare, mm-hmm. which they did, eight times under Obama. Despite that fact that they didn't do that, at least they weren't going after the president and everybody that, I mean, Lindsey Graham was rubber stamping everybody that he sent before him. So these guys have got to understand, and they've got to play by the left's rules.
Wow.
The left's not given any mercy. They don't need to be given any mercy either. They need to get down and dirty. I want to see, when Lindsey Graham got crazy angry, I sure enjoyed that. I wish he could just do that all the time.
I wish he'd stayed. Off.
We need to go and start hitting him in the shins when he's sitting at the desk.
You're so violent.
I am.
You're so violent.
Cricket bats and all. Thank you, El Presidente.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I have a plan on how to straighten out the Republicans in Congress. I'm going to channel my inner George S. Patton, my inner Bill Hicks, and my inner Arlie Ermey. Then I'm going to get my aforementioned cricket bat. I'm going to line up the Republicans 2x2 in the House, and I'm going to go down there swatting left and right, screaming at them, going, "Hey, you are all equally worthless in my view. Now straighten up and get performing." So that's just my idea, and I'm sticking to it. I want to talk about the hunt. The hunt was a version of a Japanese film called Battle Royale. That was a very controversial 2000 film. It detailed a disciplinary program enacted by the government to deal with disobedient youth in a very dystopic future where the economy has collapsed. Sort of the Hunger Games before, you know, the Hunger Games. Students were dropped onto an island where there was only two rules. Number one, kill your friends. Number two, be the last one standing. The hunt took that basic premise, which there's been many movies like this since then, but they decided to put a political tone to it. The wealthy leftists get to hunt the so-called deplorables for sport. You had some familiar faces in it, like Emma Roberts and Glenn Howerton of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and two-time Oscar winner Hilary Swank. Swank being in a film like this is a whole other story entirely concerning where her career has gone post-Million Dollar Baby. But if the plot outrages you, well, don't worry about it because they pulled the movie. And they pulled it citing the recent rampage killings in El Paso and Dayton. Now, I don't agree with that. Okay? We'll get to that in just a minute. But coming from, who sent this out? This is a press release. Universal Pictures has canceled the September 27th release of the controversial movie The Hunt in the wake of significant backlash over the film that depicts privileged vacationers hunting deplorables for sport. NBC's Universal Pictures, which shares parent company Comcast with NBC News and MSNBC, told Fox News on Wednesday that the movie's marketing campaign would be temporarily paused on the heels of the tragic mass shootings in El Paso, Texas, Dayton, Ohio, and Gilroy, California. In a statement released to Fox News on Saturday, a Universal Pictures spokesperson said, "While Universal Pictures has already paused the marketing campaign for The Hunt, after thoughtful consideration, the studio has decided to cancel our plans to release the film. We stand by our filmmakers and will continue to distribute films in partnership with bold and visionary creators like those associated with this satirical social thriller, but we understand that now is not the right time to release this film." Why not? This is the ongoing thing that's going on right now. This is reality. This is reality. Now, I understand that there's some people that don't want the political realities to come out. I get that. I want to make a film about Antifa coming to the wrong town and four or five pipe hitters coming out and decimating the entire Antifa. And then after they get done, they all go to Starbucks and have pumpkin spice lattes. I want to make that film. I would make that film too. I know that there would be a lot of people say, "Well, Bill, you can't do that. I mean, that's not politically correct." And I would look at them and say, "I know, that's my treasure." So I think they should release The Hunt. I'm not, it doesn't hurt my feelings that the leftists want to kill me. I know there's a lot of talking going on in the background. They're saying, "We're giving away tickets to see Ted Nugent." I see you, Roadkill Bob. Roadkill Bob is my man. I don't mind, though, The Hunt. I wish they would let The Hunt go. Don't get out there and play the politically virtue signaling world of, well, we are actually going to release the film in September. Listen, in September, based upon the way the fake stream legacy media operates, there won't be any press going on about these rampage killings. The moment will have passed. This is a worked over plot. This is not something that we haven't seen before. I've seen it many times. Only the names have been changed. And I got a plan to deal with this. I mean, if they want to get out there and they want to say, hey, we are hurt by this. I'm not hurt by it. I got plans for you leftists. I'm just going to help reelect Donald Trump. Revenge is a dish best served in November of 2020. I got no problems serving the dish. Put on the bib because it's going to get all over. Get out there and talk about fantasize. You're fantasizing about wanting to kill me. If you cross up with me and people like me, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. It's just like that line from Fright Night when Eric Roberts gets out. No, it's not Eric Roberts. I can't remember who it is. It's a very good actor. He gets out there and says, welcome to Fright Night. For real. Okay. Welcome to hyperviolence. This isn't some, you know, that kind of thing. I wouldn't do that kind of thing for pleasure, or for excitement or thrills. Violence should be the last thing on the menu in the political discourse. But I've got a grip on this. I'm an American, and if you don't like me, that's fine. Make a movie about it and make a movie about hunting and killing me. And then when I turn around and get a chance to make a movie about this, shut up, because it will most certainly be coming. Because this is real life. Art imitates life. I feel bad for Hillary Swank. Of course, I like her as an actress. But, you know, by all means, release the hunt. I love it when you release the hunt. I love it when you've got people, you've got people like Joe Biden who gets out there and says, underprivileged kids can perform nearly as good as white kids can. I love the leftist. You make my point for me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're going to talk to the winner of the Ted Nugent tickets. There was no fix in. He was number 4. And I can't think of anybody more fitting to go to a Ted Nugent concert than, you know, Tommy Springer. So what can I do for you, sir?
Hey, Bill. Golly, can you believe that? Look, you were talking about the movie they're trying to make, and they're going to come hunt us down, right,
yeah,
Mr. Frady?
They've already done it. I mean,
I know, but as far as releasing it, and, you know, I'm like you. Let them release it, but I'm with you, too. You know, I could see them trying to. You remember the scene in the original Rambo where all the sheriffs had all the guns and everything, and Rambo was just jumping out of trees and just creating havoc? That's what would happen in the real world.
Yeah.
You know it and I know it.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Dorner demonstrated that in real life in Los Angeles.
Exactly. So, man, you're doing a great. I love when you fill in for Terry. You know you're my favorite guy.
Thank you,
always
sir.
Have been. And, hey, man, just keep doing what you're doing. And me and Ted's going to rock Simpsonville Saturday night.
Well, be sure
there
and
be square.
Get some selfies of you. And maybe if you'll agree to wear the live Badger loincloth, he'll let you get up on stage with him.
Well, you know, if they would let me bring my bow and arrow, I'd shoot flaming arrows in Simpsonville as well. But we, you know, we might offend somebody doing that.
You
got
to shoot them. You got to shoot them to the right side to where you don't hit anybody in the crowd.
Okay, see you.
Enjoy.
Bill.
Later.
Yes, sir.
Nobody loves the Nuge like Tommy. Nobody. A lot of people think that Donald Trump has deserted the Second Amendment because of the bump stock ban. One thing you don't know about the bump stock ban is when the bump stock ban was when it was actually put in place as a rule at the ATF, which they had already they had reviewed the bump stock 3 different times and found it to be an accessory. And now with this new rule, the 3 pieces of plastic are a machine gun, even though without Being attached to a weapon, it launches nothing. But when they were calling for the banning of the bump stock, they were calling for the banning of everything out there that did that kind of thing. The bump stock is enhanced semi-automatic firing. It is basically making your trigger finger vibrate. The inertia of the gun going backwards as you pull forward on the gun, the inertia of the gun going backward when you pull the trigger and the gun goes off and the recoil occurs. There's going to be a little shelf that pushes your finger off the trigger, and as you pull the gun back forward, it's going to fall back on the trigger. So you're just bouncing. Your finger's just bouncing. You can imitate this with a rubber band, which they did not propose to ban. You can hold the weapon at your side and stick your finger in there and pull it out and bump fire it that way. Nobody proposed banning fingers either. There's also something out there that is actually a very effective tool that was excluded in the deal that is much better than the bump stock, and it costs about the same amount of money, and this is called the binary trigger. And Trump and the ATF, in the language when they banned the bump stock, excluded by name and by manufacturer, which is Franklin Armory, by the way, banning the bump, the binary trigger. Now, the binary trigger fires a round of ammunition on the pull of the trigger, and it fires a round on the release of the trigger. So each movement, it's still semi-automatic, but once again, we have enhanced semi-automatic fire. And with the binary trigger, you can actually control the weapon. Whereas with the bump stock, you're just hanging on. So Trump is aware. Trump has shown up at the NRA annual meeting as a candidate and as a president. Every time since 2016, he has shown up. And he's aware of the American gun owner, and he's aware of his pledge to the American gun owner. And his sons are very big Second Amendment guys, too. Don Jr., this is pretty funny. I was sitting there talking to one of my sponsors or something, and I look up, and here comes Don Jr. and Kimberly Guilfoyle from Fox News, and they're coming in there, and the Secret Service detail is coming in. Now, where Donald Trump would speak, the Secret Service had complete and total control of that. Everybody there had to leave their gun outside. I don't know where they left them, actually, but I just picture a pile of guns somewhere with a piece of tape on it. This is Tommy's. But when Don Jr. came onto the floor of the NRA annual meeting, he was surrounded by live guns. Everybody there was carrying a gun. Because you could. In Indianapolis, you can carry open or concealed, unlike here in South Carolina. And the Secret Service was not worried. Donald Trump Jr. was not worried. He went around to the booths he wanted to go see, and he saw what he wanted to see. So while I'm watching a lot of people out there going, Donald Trump has committed suicide. He's betrayed the American gun owner. Red flag orders. Donald Trump understands that red flag orders can't happen on a federal level. And Donald Trump knows that the states that are going to enact red flag laws are either in the middle of already doing it or they've already done it. Because there's going to be some states, and I'll give you an example of the problem of having the patchwork of law that is these state laws. Shanine Allen, young single mom, black young lady, got a concealed carry permit because she'd been robbed a couple of times. She lived in Pennsylvania. She crossed the border into New Jersey. Now here in South Carolina, when I get pulled over by law enforcement, and I do, the first thing I got to tell the law enforcement officer is, sir, I have a concealed carry permit, and the gun is here, left side, right side, glove compartment. I got to let him know where the gun is because I have to let him know. And most of the time they're like, fine, give me your license. I don't need that. And they move on. Shanine Allen does it, and she goes into New Jersey, and when she is pulled over for a bad taillight, and she lets them know when they walk up, when New Jersey's finest walks up on her and says, I have my concealed carry permit. My gun is here. And they're like, oh, really? Would you mind showing us exactly where it is? And then they arrested her. And then the governor at the time, Chris Christie, had to pardon her to keep her out of prison. Because you don't get to ride around in New Jersey. Their law was so extreme that if you were going to the range, you could have your gun in the car to go to the range. But at one point, you couldn't even stop. If you had to stop on the way to use the restroom, you were breaking the law. That's how strict their gun law is. So Trump understands that red flag laws are not going to be a federal thing because enforcing them would be a nightmare. He understands that. So him getting out there and saying what he says versus what he's doing, because he's also out there saying it's the mental health of these people, and he's correct. And it's not the guns. He's also saying that. So I don't think Donald Trump is going to commit political suicide in this next go-round because, one, he knows how important it is that he stays in office. I know how important it is that he stays in office. I do not think he has betrayed gun owners. The bump stock, which there were, I mean, comparatively speaking, there were not that many out there. Should it have been banned? In my opinion, no. In my opinion, no, because there's so many different ways to do that without putting anything on the gun to fire at that rate of fire. The thing about AR-15s and bump fire stocks, AR-15s do not play the M4, the M16 fully automatic platform. That doesn't work very well in fully automatic. It really doesn't. We used to call that the fully automatic selector switch. We used to call that the chatter switch because it'd be like a dancing squirrel. I mean, it was just all over the place. Front end's going up, the back end's going down. It's just bouncing. No way to be accurate. And in combat, you're going in there with X amount of rounds, and you know you don't want to get out there and fire and hit 16 times around the guy and miss him while he's still shooting at you. You want to hit him once and move on to the next guy. So it's not a fully automatic weapon. It has a fully automatic selector switch, but most people that had bump stocks had never. You know, shooting a fully automatic weapon, if you got to pay for the ammo, well, let's say that you better have a little bit of disposable income because that's going to go away really fast. Because I have guns come through to me all the time with the binary trigger from Franklin Armory. And those 30-round magazines go away in a flash of a pan, flash of an eye, blink of an eye. I don't know the cliche. Help me! Anyway. So, tools that can be attached to a gun, They are still intact. The best ones are still intact. He has not betrayed gun owners in the United States. Buck up.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We'll have more tickets to give out tomorrow. We'll have more Ted Nugent tickets to give out tomorrow. So, tune in for that. I'm being asked on the text line, and I realize this is actually a thing because I actually saw this the other day. I'm being asked, where would I start in responsible and lawful gun ownership? Item number one, you exist in a state today, if you live in South Carolina, where there is no gun registry. So you do not have to, there's no such thing as having a gun in your name. You do not have to worry about that. If you want to buy a gun from a personal friend or somebody and you don't want to go through a gun shop, you can do that, although I don't. I'll explain why shortly. Responsible legal gun ownership occurs when you pass the background check and then you don't use it for criminal purposes. It's that simple. Without a permit, you can carry a gun in your car, in your glove compartment or console. It has to be compartmentalized. You can carry a long gun in your car as long as it's somewhere, like in a case or something. That's what I do. I don't have them laying out in the back seat or anything because, when a law enforcement officer walks up, he has no idea who I am. So I want to give him enough time to get to know me. So I do things that way not to make people get excited. If you decide to get a permit, just about anywhere you would buy a gun nowadays has somebody's business card there about the concealed carry permit class. The concealed carry permit class in South Carolina primarily consists of about a bunch of hours where they tell you where you cannot carry a gun. And then you go outside and you're aiming at a target that looks like the rear end of a Volkswagen, and you just have to put all of the rounds in the black part of it. So you don't even have to really group. You're not qualifying. You're demonstrating that you're not going to shoot yourself in the foot that particular day before they sign off on it. You have not trained. You have not been trained to be a gunfighter, to be a self-defender. You simply have qualified to get the concealed carry permit. Once you get the concealed carry permit, you're allowed to carry the gun everywhere where you are allowed to, which is there's a prescribed list of places you can't. You don't ever carry a gun in those places, right? And then once you've got that permit, you don't have to go through any more background checks if you decide to buy a gun, which is a feature of the South Carolina concealed carry permit. I'm sure the Democrats on the coast probably think it's a bug, but it is a feature because you have now been vetted to a degree. They take your fingerprints. It's going to go through the FBI. It's going to go through a lot of things, and you don't get them right back. To buy a gun, you go into a gun shop. You pick out the gun you wish to buy. You go up there. They're going to fill out something called the 4473. They're going to ask you a series of questions. You're going to check all of those off. Read the questions and make sure you check the right one. If you check one where you say, yes, I've renounced my American citizenship, don't even bother. Don't pull out your debit card because you're not going to buy that gun. You're not going to pass the background check. Once you pass the background check, you pay. You walk out. You are now a legal, lawful gun owner. Responsibility is on you. Responsibility is on you. And there's a couple of rules to follow with a gun. Always treat it like it's loaded. Never point it at anything you don't intend to destroy. Be sure of your target and what's behind it, that kind of thing. You know, that's the responsibility part. I'm being asked if you can put it in the glove compartment around a school. The short answer to that is no. Schools have a zone around them where you cannot have a gun. They're part of a gun-free zone. It's a federal thing. In certain states where they allow teachers to be armed, they have bypassed that. But in South Carolina, I'm not aware of anything yet where they've talked about letting teachers be armed, which the actual best scenario for keeping children safe from a rampage killer is to have a combination of armed teachers and resource officers. But if you're in a school, if you're going to be around a school, don't take the gun. Now, that's enormously inconvenient. I know that. But if you're going to abide by the thing about concealed carry permit holders, we are the most law-abiding people in the United States. We are more law-abiding than, in a lot of cases, law enforcement. The Coalition to Stop Gun Violence did something they called the Concealed Carry Killers Study. And they concentrated on Texas. And they found out for some reason they published this, but they found out that if you don't have a concealed carry permit in Texas, you're 7 times more likely to commit a crime of some sort than if you do. And they found out in the area of domestic violence, concealed carry permit holders in Texas have less of a penchant to break the law in domestic violence than do police. So, join us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.